Bam. Good morning. Wait a minute. What time is it? It's 11:15, so it's the morning. Oh, shoot. My micro. There we go. I couldn't hear myself talking. You're listening to WWGH 107.1. I'm Glenn Coble. Scott Spears is coming on as soon as the music goes off, and we've had an interesting morning. We've been discussing everything under the sun, and we will continue to. My mouth's not working today, Scott. I don't know what's the matter here. Anyway, in 3 seconds, we'll have Scott Ride on the air. Hey, Scott, are you there?
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. My mouth is not working this morning, Scott.
Well, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. You know, during the break there, it was interesting. Well, I want you to do this first, and I'm going to do this. I want you to tell us what's going to be on with Dr. Feynman, so I'll let you look that up. But okay. I want to let people know what's coming up today. 12:15 to 1 p.m., we'll have a Progressive Life with Glenn and Dr. Feynman. Then from 5:15 until 6 p.m., we'll have Live at 5, the show with no name, with Pastor Craig and Nate Redman and Terry Tackett. And from 6:10 until 7 p.m., the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon. And last week, I was actually coming to the meeting with Sean, and we were listening to Live at 5, the show with no name, in the car on the way over. And it was an interesting show because they were on food again.
Which, oh, surprise, surprise.
Really be just a foodie show.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
And there's something about Terry asking Nate how many bellies something is.
How many bellies?
I wasn't sure what that related to.
I don't know. I have more than one, but I have plenty of belly. I have no idea. I've never heard of that.
So what's on today at noon?
Okay, we're going to be, everything happened this week, it seems like. We're going to talk about, should Biden declare a climate emergency? You know, in Europe right now, they're having temperatures that they have never, ever, in 300 and some odd years, ever recorded. We're going to talk about the fist bump, which some people are absolutely... Well, usually the people that want to grind a rock on something will complain about one thing or another. But this one, I think, is pushing it a little far. But I understand why they would be a little surprised that our president fist bumped with what is he? Is he a king? No, he's not a king. He's the prince of whatever. But accused murderer of... of one of our former news people. We're going to talk about what's Steve Bannon's future. How about the thing where a good guy with a gun actually did stop something that was going on? Then we're going to talk about Has the Texas government really allowed the Uvalde thing to just kind of be tucked under the rug? I'm not quite sure. And let's see, anything else? We're going to talk more about the abortion law in the Supreme Court and what's going on. Also, what in the world, if you're a Democrat, you want to know, what in the world is Joe Manchin thinking about? and then also...
getting reelected.
Yes, I guess that's the truth. And also, there's a new bill that might be coming out called the CHIP bill. And they're trying to find out how the United States can make more chips, you know, computer chip stuff. Because we're kind of behind the rock here. If you don't make your own computer chips, you're way behind in computer stuff. So we'll talk about that. Also talk about, hey, surprise, gas has dropped down below $4 in many places now. Anyway.
You know, it's kind of been a light week in the news compared to the news cycles we have had.
Well, yeah, it's not heavy stuff, but there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on here and there, but I was thinking about that yesterday morning. I thought, you know, with the news cycles we've had where it was almost hard to pick what was the most interesting story to cover, really the last week or so, not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I think everything that I just mentioned are interesting to some point, but they're not earth-shattering. Yes, and we've had a lot of earth-shattering stuff.
We had Roe versus Wade being overturned. We had Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony at the January 6th committee. We had Trump's White House counsel testifying before the January 6th committee. We had the shooting. Then we saw the video where the cops were not going in.
Yes.
We had... I mean, it just seemed like it was one big thing after another.
It's like going to the dentist all week long.
Well, it was interesting because I interviewed Phil Donahue last Thursday. And we're going to play that interview sometime, but my goodness, we were on the phone for 2 hours doing it. It wasn't planned that way, but there was just so much to talk about.
Yeah, there was an awful lot to talk about. Now, you're going to have a lot more to talk about after tomorrow's January 6th committee meeting, I think. It sounds like it could be a blockbuster.
Now, can the chairman be there after testing positive for COVID?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I was thinking about that last night. And yeah, I think he probably can be there, you know, what do they call it, virtually. He could be there virtually, and they could have his...
Well, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, is this the next to last one?
This is the last one, supposedly, but I don't think
it's
going
to... Oh, this is the last
one. Yeah, but I don't think it's truly going to be the last one.
Now, I thought that they were going to have the last one in prime time, like the first one.
This one is going to be in prime time tomorrow.
Oh, is it? See, that's how much I'm paying attention.
Hey, we got a phone call. Shall I get it?
All right.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I tuned in late last hour.
Okay.
You talking about raising money. What are you going to raise money for?
Tell him, Scott.
Oh, just that we were talking about, the finances it costs to hire an attorney to stay on the air and fight this case. And Sarah had called in this morning and talked about fundraisers to pay those costs. And Glenn and I were talking, and we talked in the meeting last week about having a radiothon to try to raise money to pay those funds. But I don't know if people would be interested in that or not.
What, they're levying a fine down on you, or what?
No, it's just to pay for the whole thing doesn't even happen until June of next year. It's just to hire a legal counsel, which they are kind of forcing us to do.
Which I think's rotten.
Now.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's it.
Okay. It does seem odd that the government can force you to hire legal counsel. I thought you were always innocent until proven guilty, but why can't you do your own legal counsel? But I don't know. I'm not sure we're explaining this.
You know, the reason they used was because if you are going to send in an appearance that you, because they want to know that you're definitely going to appear for your hearing, that apparently that has to be done legally. So the fact that you don't have any counsel is a problem for them.
And that's a problem for me. I think you can be, I think you should be allowed to be your own counsel.
Well, it'd be nice if we could get a local attorney to step up and pro bono that.
That's not going to happen.
I will say this on the record. We called just about every attorney in town. We contacted the Ohio Bar Association. We contacted the Washington, D.C. Bar Association. We contacted Legal Aid. We contacted attorneys in Columbus and Cincinnati and Cleveland. We contacted attorneys in Maryland and D.C. who allegedly specialized in this stuff. And only one attorney even was willing, and they not even necessarily willing to take the case. They were just willing to look at it and deal with the FCC and wanted thousands of dollars just to do that.
Yeah. Kind of embarrassing.
That's awful.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well,
but if anybody knows an attorney who would be willing to take it on, call the station. You know the number.
Yeah. And, well, I hate to hear that. Hopefully you can raise some money somehow.
Now, do you listen to us over the air, or do you listen to us on one of the apps?
Over the air.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I think
But you have said, I mean, we had the conversation that if we did go away on the air, because you have listened for so long, you would make steps to continue to listen.
Yeah, I would
good.
Do that, but, you know, I'd rather listen over the air.
Yeah.
Right. I don't disagree with that at all. I'm just saying, I think it's the programming. I think if we were doing shoddy programming, it'd be easy for people to leave us behind. I think people would miss us.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing that we were still out there, just on another medium, I think would eventually drive people to find us again.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
well,
we,
at least
hope so.
My show,
we hope so.
And I don't know about yours.
My show, now, the caller, I think, would listen to my show.
Oh, yeah. That show sounds interesting today.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I always listen to your show unless I happen to fall asleep.
Yeah, happen to fall asleep.
Hey, did you catch the Jim Thorpe Hour this morning?
Yeah.
Also,
most of that. I was wondering if he's ever going to come on.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't that interesting? I forgot to turn the microphone on.
Hey, did you ever get that wheelchair you were looking for?
No, I never did get an extra wide wheelchair. I got a power chair, but
okay.
I'm going to have to call the company out. It's flashing a code and not wanting to work.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, but wow. I never have got the extra wide wheelchair.
Yep.
Trish, listen, she brought over a wheelchair, but it was just a standard wide. It wasn't an extra wide.
Yeah. Well, we certainly had it on the air a couple of weeks here, so maybe we can
probably
do it again tomorrow.
Be on air tomorrow.
All right. Cool.
Okay, later, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Now, see, isn't that interesting? I think Ted Jolliffe and Trish have both tried to help Lee, our friend there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the hallmark of this station.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is what I just don't see dissipating away. Because you know what's interesting to me? How many times have shows or hosts switched stations, switched networks, switched mediums? I mean, do you remember? I mean, I've read about it because I'm a historian of broadcasting, or I'm a student of the history of broadcasting. You know, when television came in, they thought that was just going to be a big novelty, and all the radio people would not dare do television. And then they said, "Whoa, wait a second!" And there were far more radios than televisions out there, and yet, because the programming got so good on television, people went out and bought televisions.
Well, you know, there was a significant time, much like when we went from silent film to talkies. The people that had really bad voices lost every job they ever had. And they're going to be people, there were going to be people when they went from radio to television that didn't look so good on TV, and we lost those people. Now, that's one of my problems that we're going to have if we go to this online thing where you're going to televise the shows as they're going on, and I'm looking at this little red light staring at me. I'm not one of those persons that people are going to love to look at, so I don't know.
But you know what? That I don't know that that's true in that ugly people got turned down. I mean, one of the biggest stars in television was Jackie Gleason. He was incredibly overweight. One of the first big stars in television was Jack Benny, who was also a star on radio. I don't think people thought he was a beautiful man.
Well, I don't think he had to be beautiful, but I think he had to look like a common man, or you had to look acceptable. Jimmy Durante would be the one I'd pull out. Jimmy was not that handsome. So.
No, but I think it's the quality of the work. If your show is bad on radio, it's going to be bad on television.
Well, that's true.
If your show is good on radio, it's going to be good on television. If you put the time in... See, this is what it all comes down to with me, truthfully. I think the reason that podcasts and internet stations either fail or don't is because people don't put the time in. Mm-hmm. They still think of radio as or internet as a hobby. And if you think of it as a hobby and you don't show up when you say you're going to be on, and you don't put a new show out when you say you're going to put a new show out, and if you say you're going to be 24/7 and you're not on 24/7, you are not going to accumulate people, because the first time somebody tunes in to hear something live and it's not, they're going to tune out.
Yeah.
The first time somebody tunes in when you say you're 24/7 and you get dead air, they're not going to continue to listen.
Yeah.
So that... To me, it's just keep putting out the good stuff and you'll do fine. Who would have thought that cell phones would have replaced landlines? Who would have thought that Netflix would hurt the movie theaters? Who would have thought that cable television would nearly be having the ratings of broadcast television, which is absolutely free? I don't think people would have thought this years ago, but it happened.
I still have a hard time thinking about that. I still wish that we had more opportunity for free television. I think that would... Free television and free politics. I think that would certainly help the situation in the United States, but we don't have
that. But you know what I think it does? Now, this is the bottom line. The bottom line is it gives more people chances to do things.
Yeah.
You know, when you are regulated by the FCC or you have to turn out a newspaper, in-your-hand newspaper, that costs money to do. But if you can do things in a different way, on a different medium, you're going to have more people under the tent and more avenues to go to get information. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I agree with you on that. I'm not so certain it isn't a bad thing. We have so much CRAP on television right now. My wife and I will go to our, you know, we are streaming, and we'll go to our streaming and can't find anything worth watching, let alone something that we're going to watch. But also, the problem with that is it allows people, if you're not regulated by the FCC or somebody, you can say whatever you want to say, and nobody can say anything opposite that. And that brings the rise to many of our cable television stations that just flat out lie the whole time. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of allowing lots of people. I think we need regulation in radio and television.
I don't, you know, I
never liked the FCC hyper-regulation, but I do think we need regulation. I think we need fairness, and I think we fairness doctrine, and I think we need the honesty thing, the opposing the slander and the lying about things. I really think we need to require radio and television stand up for honesty.
You know, I don't know. It's all very complicated because You know, there's a snobbery about what is a journalist and what is not a journalist.
Yes, there is.
Now, if you're telling the truth, but you're not with a major outlet, are you considered a journalist?
I would think so.
Well, there's a little snobbery in that. And also the kind of stuff you do, it's not even true or false. You know, if you are Maury Povich and you're doing paternity tests, well, that's true. You're not doing anything false. But somebody who's giving you the 6 o'clock news every day, what the president's doing and what the vice president's doing, now they're going to look and say, oh, paternity test, you know, that's juvenile. So, you know, it's very difficult.
As long as it's honest, I think Maury Povich has every right in the world to put that on, because there are people that will listen to it. But if he starts lying about it, if he starts putting stuff on that Mary Jane got pregnant by Joe, and she didn't, just to get ratings, then I think that's a problem. And that may have happened in some of those stupid shows. Now, yeah, I don't watch any of those shows because it just turns my stomach to listen. Who cares? Let other people do what they do and do the right thing yourself. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. I just, I don't want anybody to get on and blatantly lie. But there is so much opinion now that you could say, you know, a lot of people feel opinion is just flat out lying. That, you know, that's how you feel, but the audience is interpreting that as the truth.
I understand
of the situation.
Yeah, and I know that's a hard line to walk. Is a journalist supposed to be non-biased? I don't think you can be non-biased on everything. So I don't know.
I think you can.
Yeah, I know you do. I disagree with you, but
I think if you work at it, you can.
Would you have been non-biased in Germany in 1943?
What's that?
Would you have been non-biased in Germany in 1943?
You know, I'm glad we love to talk about Hitler.
Well, it's an easy one. Okay, would you have been non-biased in China in 1889, whatever that was, when they had the Boxer Rebellion?
No, No, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because it triggered something in my brain.
Okay.
The other night, I like to watch this C-SPAN channel, Book TV, where they have authors on for an hour and they review the book.
Yep.
And they had a guy on there 2-3 nights ago who had written a book, American professor who had written a book on Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
But his take on it was he didn't want to write about his wartime. He wanted to write. A matter of fact, the cover of the book was a picture of Hitler as a baby.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to write from the time he was born till the time of the start of World War II.
I think that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, why did he do what he did? And what was so interesting, and the person interviewing him also came to this conclusion, and this guy with tons of information came to this conclusion, was that there were very traumatic events in his life that involved people of the Jewish heritage that made him very biased against Jewish people. And there was even a report, now nobody knows if it's true or not, that when he was young, that a Jewish person might have given him a transmitted disease. And also, one of the most fascinating thing to come out of this...
And he should be blamed for giving the transmitted... Okay.
No. But the most fascinating thing about it... No, that we're just talking about motivation. It's not right what he did.
Yeah.
But what was his motivation for doing it?
Yep, I understand that.
But in the end, what was so fascinating about it was this guy had looked at papers... Like people, Albert Speer, who had written books, who worked for Hitler, was his right-hand man. And they all came back to the same conclusion about Hitler, was that in his mind, he thought he was doing a service to the world. Because he felt that the Jewish people were causing problems, had been a plight on people, and after World War One, when Germany was punished, did not help the situation at all.
Right.
And it's not right. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, it's what I always have said. The most evil person in the history of the world, which I do think is Adolf Hitler, did not get up in the morning and comb his hair and say, I'm evil. Nobody does that. If you did that, you wouldn't do it if you believed what you were doing was evil.
Oh, I think there are people that do believe they're evil and relish the idea that they're evil. But go ahead.
I don't know. What wouldn't you think the evilest man, the man who's been ranked in all polls and all books and more books written about it, the most evil man in the history of our time, would have thought he was evil?
No, I wouldn't have. I don't see how he could have been motivated to get out and make those speeches if he hadn't convinced himself that he was right.
Exactly. Now,
but there are people that like the idea of being evil. They're the ones that, I don't know, they're usually pretty sick, and they like to show how evil they are with their, you know, tattooed face with a knife going through their tongue or something. You know, they like to show how evil they are, and I think there are people that like that. They like they relish the idea of having other people think of them as evil.
But we have had this conversation before, and it usually goes about politics because the political show follows this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very hard. And it was interesting that Dr. Feynman, I don't even think, understood the question you were asking him the day we had that conversation.
Which question?
And I'm not saying Dr. Feynman didn't understand it mentally, because Dr. Feynman's a very smart man. I think it was just hard for him to even accept that somebody who had a completely different opinion politically than he did could believe they were as right as he is about his. And that's what's missing here in this country. Now, it's the abortion issue, it's the gun control issue, it's the same-sex marriage issue. I'm not saying one way or another is right or wrong, but I'm saying you have to understand at some point that it is a possibility that for as strongly as you believe you are right, the person disagreeing you is not always motivated by money. They might truly believe that they are right.
I'm sure just there are people like that, yes.
Yeah, just as sincerely.
We do have a phone call, though, by the way. Go ahead.
What's that?
We do have a phone call.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, Glenn, it's interesting with Hitler. You know, Hitler got elected chancellor, president, whatever they call it.
Yep.
And he abused his powers,
mm-hmm.
making executive orders and doing things, and his party did not hold him responsible. The Nazi Party was just a party like a Democrat or Republican or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And after he abused his powers so much, and the people in the Nazi Party realized that this is not right, there's nothing they could do.
Yeah, but
you know what? Here's what I want to say about Hitler. And again, it's not an opinion. It just is factual. That Hitler, for everything that he did or did not do, his party, if you lived in Germany after World War I, Hitler was giving you jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't had jobs. They didn't have shoes for their feet.
And the world hadn't trained.
Well, that's why, people gravitated towards him so, you know, and
right.
So fast was, he did give jobs and put people to work.
Right.
But he put people to work and gave them jobs for a reason that they really did not know of, you know.
Right. And also, if you would have went to most people in Germany during the war, they liked that Germany was expanding territory and becoming a world power.
Well, the world had treated Germany so badly after World War I that they were PO'd.
Yeah, most people did not turn on Hitler until the end of the war.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, something that also should be mentioned about this whole situation is that Stalin and Churchill, and maybe even to his own detriment, top three president of all time, Franklin Roosevelt, there's plenty of evidence now that he knew what was going on in concentration camps and still had a hard time helping Churchill and had a hard time getting this country into war, and had Pearl Harbor not happened, he wouldn't have gone. So
he had a hard time getting this country into war because people did not want, you know, they wanted to be isolated. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, that was just what he needed to get to. He wanted to help and go to war, but he couldn't because too many people did not. He couldn't have went to Congress and got a declaration of war.
No, he couldn't have. Not at that.
I don't know.
Well,
hey, I don't know if that's true because he ran his fourth term basically on "I will not go to war," and he knew at that point what was going on in Germany. And if this is the most evil man in the history of the world, Adolf Hitler, and this is the most evil thing that was ever done, the slaughtering of, I don't have the number, how many Jewish people, the fact that he would say that as a campaign promise says a lot about that man.
You know, last week, you had a caller call in, and he was defending Trump, and he was asking Glenn if he's doing better now than what he was when
Trump was in office. I said yes.
Okay. See, that's what Hitler did. He put people to work. People was making money. Okay. When you defend Trump and say we should have Trump with how he tried to steal and wreck this democracy, You're doing the same thing people did in Germany.
Well, see, here's where I think, it comes back to the essential problem, is that when people compare Trump to Hitler, everybody in the middle, I think, goes, what are you doing? Because there is a little... Trump did not try to kill millions of people.
No, but there's a lot of similarities, you know what I'm saying?
And we don't know that wouldn't have happened.
If Trump could get by killing Muslims and stuff like that, he just might.
Yeah, but here's the thing. People get to vote in this country.
Yeah.
If you didn't want Trump the first time, don't vote for him. And if you don't want him to run again, don't vote for him.
He didn't. He didn't win the first time. But
that's how we play the game.
I know.
Well, I tell you, anybody I ever voted for, if they put the wool over my eyes and I found out later that they was doing something like, you know, Trump has done and trying to stay in office when he's blatantly, you know, lost, I couldn't have no respect for him.
Here's the problem with January 6th, and it was kind of the Bill Clinton problem, too. People have said so much about Trump that was really trivial. Now that we look at January 6th, they tried to impeach him twice. They knew they weren't.
No, he was impeached twice.
Yeah, but
they didn't vote it.
They knew they weren't going to remove him from office. We had the Mueller report that went on for the first 2 years. We had newspapers counting how many lies the man told. We spent 3 days on inauguration weekend showing pictures of crowd size. Every time the man did something, it was a cycle on cable news. So when the real bad thing happens, people go, my goodness, you've been after this man for 4 years.
Well, that investigation they had on Bill Clinton, similar to what this investigation is now, the only thing they could come up with was a blowjob in the Oval Office and stains on the dress.
I don't think you can say that on the air.
which, by the way, was... this is why we have to go to internet.
Well, sorry.
No. But you know what? What Bill Clinton did was illegal. And if anybody else had committed perjury, they would have went to jail.
Yeah, you're right. And I think we should...
Well, I would have been, I've been all right with a, small fine or even a large fine or whatever, but what he did was illegal. But what he did was no nothing compared to what Trump did.
Nothing compared to it. Just to stay away from Trump for a minute and get back to Franklin Roosevelt, you know, why would he, you know, if you believe you can't get the Congress and the Senate to back you into a war, back you for a war, okay, that's fine. But why would you campaign?
Well, that's why he was doing that Lend-Lease stuff with England. He was giving them, they didn't even want him to be doing that.
Yeah, I understand, but so should Hitler have, or should Roosevelt have lied and said, boys' feet will not be on foreign land as long as I'm president. Well, then once he got elected, that was a different story.
Unfortunately, once you get elected, reality hits your...
Well, reality sunk in, and, you know, Pearl Harbor just, you know, if Japan hadn't bombed Pearl Harbor, you know, Hitler would have been able to give him a better toehold than what he did.
You know what? Most presidents in this country, and certainly Franklin Roosevelt by his fourth term, certainly knew how to quell Senate and Congress. And had he really wanted to do it, this man who had already been in office 12 years and had pulled us out of the Great Depression and had gotten all these New Deal programs that people thought were socialism passed through Congress and Senate, if he would have really wanted to go to war, he could have made the case at that point. People thought Roosevelt was God in this country. One of Bill Clinton's famous sayings is that when his grandfather died, he thought he was going to Roosevelt. Not God.
My mother, grandmother, and grandfather absolutely hated Roosevelt, so not everybody believed that.
No.
Well, I think Roosevelt's more renowned now than what he was back then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially in his first few terms, but... He was
getting elected by huge margins. I mean, you did not want to speak against Franklin Roosevelt if you were a senator or a... And I'll tell you what, we've got others. It's not just Hitler and Roosevelt. Dwight Eisenhower, one of the most decorated veterans from World War II, campaigned for Joe McCarthy in Wisconsin, the man who was calling everybody a communist.
I don't think he campaigned for him at the time that he was calling everybody a communist, though, did he? It was before that.
The time would have been pretty close.
Yeah, but I think it was right before, and then he felt a new...
Let's put it this way. Eisenhower didn't stop it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think, you know, I think...
Eisenhower did do well on getting the highways.
Yes, he certainly did. I think if I decide to retire, Scott, you need to get Lee on to do this show with you.
Yeah, I've known me and Glenn, we feel a lot alike on a lot of things,
don't we?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your call, Lee. We'll keep listening to you.
Well, you're going to have to meet one of these days, man.
All right, yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
If I find the right size wheelchair, I'll bring it over.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Okay, later.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go.
Yeah, no, I believe that, and again, this is me not giving my opinion, but I do believe that it's very hard for people to accept that people we think are heroic, and maybe they are for some things, made decisions, and maybe we should even call them mistakes, that we would not have done.
Yeah, everybody's that way. And that's why I tell my own listeners is that you should educate yourself, because every politician in the world is going to have something that you absolutely hate. Now, yesterday I was going through Tracy Richardson, the lady who was my opponent when I ran for state representative. I went through all of her what she's done as far as voting goes, and there wasn't a single thing on there that I agreed with her on, but I'm sure she's doing it she thinks she's right, and that's what it. We all have two sides of ourselves, and sometimes right. we're good on both. Sometimes we're good, but we mess up once in a while, or sometimes we're bad and we do something right once in a while.
But see, now here's the problem, though, with the 2022s. That wasn't so much the case 22 years ago. The problem is now it was, okay, I feel this way about this issue, you feel that way about that issue. However the cards fall, that's how they're going to fall. Okay. But now it's, I feel this way about this issue, so you're despicable.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, you think that's not going to enrage people? Because I guarantee you, it's not just that one person who feels that way. And that's why the comparison of Trump to Hitler, that just makes the people who support Trump more sure that he is the right guy, because they go, my goodness gracious, what a horrible comparison.
I drive down Forest Lawn, and there's somebody that has a sign out that says, deplorables vote. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you want to call yourself a deplorable? And of course they vote.
Well, because they were making fun of Hillary.
I know what they were doing.
Yeah, just irony.
It's not
very ironic.
What
about the Democrats who wore T-shirts that said, I'm a nasty woman?
Yeah, I hate that.
There you go.
We do have a phone call. Hang on.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
This is Bob the Pizza Guy.
Hi, Bob the Pizza Guy.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? It's been a while.
It's been a while. I'm just saying, if you're going to do a radiothon, like you're going to be up for 40 hours or 60 hours or something like that, then that'd be a proper time to do a pizza stuffed turkey. Last time we had to rush it and only get it done in 2 hours. We didn't have time to make gravy or anything else.
Oh, that would be good, though.
And, yeah, we'll need grub if we do
that. Yeah, and your grub is good.
If you go that way, we'll do a pizza stuffed turkey fundraiser there.
I love it. We'll get a crowd right at the front door while wanting a taste. Yeah.
And just one thing before I go, but you can't really compare Trump and Hitler, because Hitler did not have funny hair.
Or orange face. Oh, me.
Anyway, I'll let you go. That's all right. I need to get a fight off here.
Great call.
See you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Always
pizza. Pizza stuffed turkey. I love it.
And you thought that was going to be awful, but you just stopped that.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I did chow down on it. Yeah, it was good.
But I guess in our final 3 minutes here, I think the end result is just simply that really the name-calling has got to stop. And these comparisons, and it's not just Trump, these comparisons that we're making with people are, I mean, I see some comparisons in life, but boy, when you go way off into the left field, I think, holy mackerel.
I think sometimes the name calling is, my name calling to you might be name calling, but to somebody else, it would be saying the truth. So we have to be careful of saying you can't name call somebody. If in fact the person is a liar and you call them a liar, that's a fact.
Well, yeah, but the problem is those. That's not necessarily what we're talking about here.
Oh,
what
okay.
I'm talking about is the adjectives despicable, deplorable, idiot. Who measures these?
Well,
things?
Yeah, and they're not. Those aren't words that really have any real meaning to them. Yeah.
Disgusting. But they do have meaning to the people who are being called them.
Yeah, I never bothers me. You can call me disgusting if you want to.
No, but I, you know what? I just think that if we just stated our opinion and were passionate about the opinion, the people understand how you feel. Why do you then have to attack the other people who don't feel the way you do? Why can't you? This is how I feel. This is why it should be this way. Okay.
Yeah, you can attack the opinion without attacking the person. Yeah, I agree.
But 9 times out of 10, every opinion I hear, there's a person involved. That,
well,
this person did that, so they're awful. You know, Well, I don't know if they're awful or not. I think they probably believed what they thought.
Well, the other side of that one is when, well, if he did it, I can do it. Oh, I hate that one, too.
Right. So I don't know. I just think it's you know, if you really believe that somebody's doing something awful, you doing it does not make you much better than them. And
that's why that's boy, why I ran for office. I wanted to put my time where my mouth was.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, promises are okay, and not every promise does get fulfilled, but it's not always that person's, you know, other things happen along the way. Again, Roosevelt, fourth term, saying, we will not go into war. Well, you did. Was he a liar, or did events happen that he couldn't control?
I think the latter is true, but we don't, you know. If you didn't like him, my grandfather and grandmother would have said he lied.
And I am out of here.
All right.
It's been fun.
All right. Great. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your